This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith, and this is the Sons of Melchizedek program. Today, I'm at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Carmel, Indiana, and I'm interviewing a newly assigned priest to this parish, Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste. Welcome, Father.
Thank you.
So, Father, you are new to this parish, and you are also, I would say, probably not from Indiana originally. Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
So where are you from? Are you from originally?
I'm from Haiti. As you just said, I am Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste. I'm an Haitian priest. I come from the Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince. I was ordained on April 28, 2012.
So you said Port-au-Prince, and that is your home country and home diocese. Haiti is a country on the island of Hispaniola. It takes up about a third of the land mass and has a population of about 11 million people. Is that right, Father?
Yes. Haiti has a population about 12 million people.
Now, that country is in a political disarray right now. It is the government has fallen, pretty much, and there's a lot of bad things going on in the country. So we welcome you to this country. How long have you been in the United States, Father?
I am in the United States since a year.
About a year?
About a year. I was in New York with a family, and I come here 2 months ago.
All right. And you have a special connection to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish here in Carmel, right?
Of course. I know some people in the Carmel Parish, in St. Elizabeth Seton Parish, more than 25 years old. I know Brian, Mary Pat, Amber, Wu Buyol, Father Ted too, because I used to come here with Father Ted in 2012, 2013, 2014. The last time I came here, it was for Brian Dowder wedding. So I know people in Carmel, and I knew them I was teenager, and they help also in my education. They help me to go to school. They help me to go to seminary. And I know I have a lot of connection with people in St. Elizabeth and Seton.
So your home in Haiti, you decided to become a priest at a very young age. I understand that when you were first born, you could not even walk. Is that true?
Yes. I was born disabled. I couldn't walk. And then it took a lot of time. After 5 years old, my mother went to Our Lady of Mont Carmel to pray for me. And I remember she spent the whole day in prayer because she didn't know what to do else, because she spent a lot of money. My father and her, they spent a lot of money. A doctor couldn't explain exactly what happened to me, why I couldn't walk. And you know, the medicine, didn't walk really in Haiti either. So I cannot say chance because prayer is not a chance. But my mother went to Our Lady of Mont Carmel to ask Our Lady to do anything for me. And she believed that prayer could be a way out. She surrendered herself completely that day and gave me as an offering to Our Lady of Mont Carmel. And the next day, I walk. It's for me the strength of my mother's prayer and the power of the Virgin Mary's intercessions.
Well, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that you could walk.
Of course, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And indeed.
No, Father, when you say Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we have an Our Lady of Mount Carmel here in Carmel. But you're talking about Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Haiti.
Yes,
a parish,
exactly. A parish in Pétionville.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's right.
Okay. And so suddenly you could walk, a miracle by all means, and that had a big impact on you. It set your mind at a young age that you might consider becoming a priest. Is that right?
That's right. When I walk and my father asked me 1 year after, what is your goal? What you want to become when you will grow up? And I didn't know what is a priest. But my first answer, without hesitation, was I want to become a priest.
And you hadn't even been through First Communion or Confirmation yet, right?
No. But I was born in a Catholic family. My parents used to go to church with me
all the time.
And my father used to pray with us every night in the living room. All the children together with parents, we pray together. We pray rosary, and he read the gospel of the day every day. He used to do that. So I learned my first catechism from my parents.
Now, in Haiti, you told me before the interview started that it's a bit different than in this country. You have your parish, but then you have a variety of chapels all around the parish. And your father was a sacristan and would help the priest by bringing consecrated hosts to the individual chapels. Is that right, Father?
That's right, because in my country, in the camping, we don't have enough priests. We don't have enough parish either. And then the priests can have 7 churches to take care, sometimes 9, sometimes 12 churches, so he cannot get to all of them every Sunday. So he used the sacristan. The sacristan is someone the bishop give formation. He receives formation from the diocese, and then he can preside the communion service.
Right.
He can preach. I cannot say preach, but he can speak with people. He can explain Bible to people when the priest is not there, because you know, just bishop, priest, and deacon can preach.
Right.
But the sacristan can help when the priest cannot go in the chapel.
A lesson that we should learn in the U.S. here, because we have a shortage of priests in the U.S. And this program is called Sons of Melchizedek. It is a priestly vocation interview program, and I'm interviewing today Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste at a St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish, where he's now assigned. But the lesson to be learned is we need more priests. We need more vocations in this country and in Haiti as well. Correct, Father?
Yes, it is.
Now, tell me a little bit about your family. You have 2 brothers, 2 sisters. Are they still living, or and where are they?
Yes, my parents, my father and my mother, they are deceased. But I have two brothers and two sisters. We are five children in the family, and they are still alive. They are in Haiti, and they continue to live.
I understand that you had to leave Haiti, and you had some situation, a bad situation with some of the gangs there that had you kind of pegged as a person that they wanted to harm. So we're happy that you're in this country. We hope that you are safe in this country now, and that your siblings that are left in Haiti maybe join you sometime and up in this country. Can you go back to Haiti?
For now, it's not secure. And unfortunately, I don't want to go back now in Haiti. And then my bishop advises me, the national police, they asked me to stay a little bit outside of the country because there are no possibility to take care of the people when you get an attack from the gangs. So if it's a revenge, they can possess you. They can continue to persecute you, so it's not easy. So I don't want to go back.
And life. Haiti's had a tough time, too, because there was a major earthquake there several years ago, right?
Yes, in 2010, we had a big earthquake, and we lost a lot of people. A lot of people were killed by the earthquake.
A lot of damage also. 250,000 people died.
300,000. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
God rest their souls.
That was very difficult, very hard. I was in seminary, my last year in seminary, and we lose seminarian, we lose priest in seminary. It was not easy. The seminary has been destroyed too by the earthquake.
And I saw the cathedral was in
Yes, Chamber. Also the cathedral and the bishop. Bishop Mio was killed by the earthquake.
Oh my gosh. A horrible, horrible time for the people remaining in Haiti. Again, we need to have them in our prayers always, and we're happy that you're here to help us pray as well. Today I'm interviewing Father Jean-Baptiste, Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste, and I am going to be back after this short break with our program, Sons of Melchizedek. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
This is Gordon Smith. We're back with Father and Anthony.
Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste. Thank you, Father. It's the French accent, French Creole, that I have a hard time with. You said that you wanted to become a priest way back to when you had the miracle happen when your mom prayed at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Haiti, and you were able to walk. So age 7 or 8 years old, you had an idea that you wanted to become a priest that finally took shape when you entered the seminary at age 22. So what was seminary like, Father?
Seminary is a house to meet God. It's a house of discernment. It's a house of formation. It's a house of silence. It's a house to learn how to live together. I really like the seminary. And you know, three things are very important in seminary: spiritual life, relationship with others, and studies. Personally, it's where I learn to pace my days.
Say that again. You paced your days?
Yes. To structure.
Define that.
To put a structure in my day. Because I know, I can say that. It's a way where I learn to punctualize my day.
And so did you do the Liturgy of the Hours and the morning prayer?
Exactly. Right. In the morning, I know I have to get up at 5. I know at 6 I have to be in the chapels. I know at 7 I have to take breakfast. I know at 8 I have to be in class. I know at 12 I have to be in the chapel to pray. I know at 1 I have to be in the to take lunch. Mm-hmm. I know after lunch I have to take a break. I know at 3 I have to go back in to class. I know at 6 I have to be in the chapel to pray. I know at 7 we take dinner, and I know at 8:30 I have to be in the chapels for the last prayer of the day, and after silence we go to bed.
So that was a grand silence all night until the next morning when you had meal or morning prayers.
After the last prayer, we have a great silence until tomorrow morning when we will be in the chapels to have the first prayer of the day.
I see. Now, how many years were you in seminary?
In seminary, in IT, you take time. I spent 10 years in seminary.
10 years?
10 years. But it was very benefits for me. I get in seminary in 2003 for propedeutic. After the first year, I study philosophy. And then after philosophy, 2 years, I go back to university. I did my license in philosophy, and then I go back to seminary to study theology for 4 years. And after 4 years, I spent 1 year in parish for practice. And after, I was ordained deacon. And after 8 months as deacon, I was ordained priest, April 28.
So you were ordained a priest in Haiti by the bishop.
Yes, I was ordained a priest in Haiti by Bishop Guy Poula. He was deceased, unfortunately.
And at that time, you got your marching orders and you became a parish priest. What was your first assignment in Haiti? Where did you go?
Yes, I was parochial vicar at Saint Vincent de Paul. In Thomasin, Pétionville. St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
And from 2012 to 2015. After 2015, I was parochial vicar in the Sacred Heart in Port-au-Prince.
Sacred Heart in Port-au-Prince.
In Port-au-Prince. And while I was parochial vicar, I studied in a university in France, I studied Paris Escritay. I studied education and I got my master degree in education. And after, in 2017, I became pastor of Our Lady of Fatima.
Now, did these parishes have schools with them? You had a degree in education, so were you a school principal as well?
Yes, I was a school principal, but not in my parish, because the diocese had a school, diocesan school. I was the principal.
Now, the other parishes you mentioned, St. Vincent de Paul, was that in Port-au-Prince or was it out in the countryside somewhere away from the city?
It was not in Port-au-Prince, in the town downtown. But Saint Vincent de Paul was in Pétionville. Pétionville in Thomasin. Thomasin is a place beside of Pétionville. A nice place in Pétionville.
How far from Port-au-Prince is that? Miles. How many miles?
Maybe 10 miles.
Okay.
10 kilometers from Port-au-Prince.
I'm going to ask you now how you feel is the most important task, Father, in being a priest. What is your most important task?
A priest has three responsibilities.
And what are those?
And a priest has to teach, to preach. A priest has to sanctify the flock of God, and he has to organize the community. He teaches by word and by example, because you can speak, but if your action is different from your word, it is not a good testimony.
You're a hypocrite.
Exactly, phrases. And you need to teach by word and by action, by example. And you need to sanctify by the sacrament. The most important is the Mass. You celebrate Mass to sanctify the people of God. So you need to celebrate every day. You need to pray. You need to celebrate Mass for the people.
So and you'd say that's your favorite task then?
That right, is Father? My favorite. That is my favorite.
And I really
like to celebrate Mass. And for me, if I cannot celebrate Mass, that is a big damage for me.
Well, you do have ability, or the God gives us, and through you as a priest, the ability to do a consecration, which is a miracle in and of itself. You are raising up the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle that we are very grateful for your vocation. We're so happy that you are a priest, and we're happy that you're with us here in Carmel now. Are there other sacraments that you enjoy conferring? How about confession?
I like very much confession. You can see that, even though I don't have a program to have confession, but I will come anyway. Because you cannot refuse someone when he asks you to confess. And I like also to visit sick people. I like to go to the hospital. I like to go to the hospice. I like to go to the family also. When there's a sick person in the family, I like to visit them because they need to feel the presence of God. They need to feel the presence of the church with them. When they can, we encourage them to come to church. But when they are sick, they need the presence of the church with them. I really like to visit sick people.
Well, Jesus is the divine healer, and you can act in persona Christi to bring Jesus to the people, and that is one of the things that you're charged with as a priest. You're a doctor of soul. Spiritual health.
Exactly. I am doctor of the souls, so when I visit them, I bring a Holy Communion for them, and I confess them, and I pray with them. Some of them are very touched by the presence of priests when you visit them.
Let me change the subject a little bit here, Father Anthony, and ask you about what parents should do. We have parents of young men in this parish and other parishes that are listening right now, and they have young men in their family that may or may not have a vocation. So what should those parents do to encourage their son's vocation?
Parents have a noble responsibility to respect their children's vocation. When a child come to you and tell you, "I want to become a priest," you don't have to discourage. You need to encourage your child, and you need to watch over the growth of that vocation, and to accompany your child on his vocational path. And parents should encourage their children's vocation and introduce them to the parish priest, because you can involve spiritually and materially also, but a parent cannot forcible a kid to become a priest, and you cannot.
That wouldn't work out well.
No, not at all. The child must be free to follow his own path. Parents cannot force a child to become a priest, and parents cannot force a child, prevent a child to the priesthood. So parents need to accompany. Parents need to pray with the children. And when a child learn catechism at home, when a child finds parents, they pray together, they go to church together, we have possibility to receive vocation.
There was a famous priest in the 60s in the U.S., and he coined the phrase, the family that prays together stays together.
That's right.
Father, some people have a hard time believing in God. They have a hard time believing in the Holy Eucharist as being the real presence of God on the altar. What would you have to say about that?
There is far too much evidence of God's existence in my personal life. If I can walk today, it's because God exists. It's a proof of the existence of God. But also, who can slow down his life for one day? Where did man really come from? Why, since antiquity, have we never had proof of the Big Bang or of the theory of revolutionism? Tell me, where have you seen a monkey turn into a human?
Never.
So the world and man were created by God. So I'm sure, I believe God is real. God exists.
Today we've been interviewing Father Anthony Jean-Baptiste, and we're at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Carmel. Father, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be interviewed today. I want to thank you for your vocation and your time in the church, and especially for the sacraments that you are able to give parishioners here every single day.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you very much to receive me. Thank you very much for the interview. Hi to all the parishioners of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and especially hello to the young, the children, hello to the sick persons. We pray for them.
Amen.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.